Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
When I read something, I often want to use a little kind of lens by which I can then react to what I'm reading. And when that lens is generally, what do I feel comfortable with in this? And what makes me feel uncomfortable? What do I feel comfortable with? And what makes me feel uncomfortable? And you might find that it's a weird thing for me to say of this particular gospel passage. Some part of it actually made me feel uncomfortable. Maybe you can guess which part that is. And when I was reflecting on why that was, I used my personal experience, as I can only do because I am me. And I remembered a time where we were at a Christian festival, me and my wife and our kids. No, before kids? Probably before kids. I'm not sure. It's been so long. I don't know anymore. And what people might not know about me is at 19, I started losing my sight. By the end of my final years, my vision was so poor, I had to write my final papers of my degree with holding up my paper to my face, writing like this. There was one point as I walked through Broccoli, my brother also has the same condition. I was going from my grand's house, he was coming from my mum's house, and we walked past each other. When we got to the other side, we phoned each other's houses, and I was like, "Where are you?" He said, "Oh, I'm at grand's." I said, "Oh, I've just come from grand's. When did you leave?" He said, "Oh, I left mum's to go to grand's." So we walked on the same road, and we walked past each other. Our sight was so bad, as brothers, we didn't even see each other. That's when I realized I might need to go to the doctors. But we were at this festival and people were praying for healing. And they were sure that I would be healed of my blindness. Partly because of passages like this. I sat there, people with their hands on me, really pressing into prayer with God. I think it was for about half an hour. I was really uncomfortable. I got to a point where I was just praying to God, please heal me so they will stop praying for me. Or tell them that you're not going to help me, but do something, because this can't go on. I'm getting hungry. I wasn't healed. I'm still not healed with my visual impairment to this day. I wear corrective contact lenses. I've had about 3 operations. It is fine for the moment, but at some point I may lose my vision completely. I may have to have cornea replacements. But it's just part of my life. It's part of who I am. And I really felt God speak to me in that moment about my visual impairment, my disability, being something that would help others. That I didn't need to be healed because it was part of my ministry, part of who I was. It wasn't my identity, I don't choose it as my identity, but it is something that I can use as a tool to glorify God. I've pined for a day where I can take my contact lenses out and do a sermon where I can't read anything and I can't see any of the faces. But it's not happening today. Partly because I'll probably lose them and they're about £100 each, so we're not doing that. And as I read this passage, I got to the section where it said, I have come for recovery of sight to the blind. And I felt uneasy with it because of my history, because of my lived experience. And then, this week, I was praying with someone and I researched a theologian, a priest from America. She's an Episcopal priest called Claire Wimbush. And she has cerebral palsy. And she says, my body doesn't listen to my brain. Luckily for her, she's still able to speak, because I know of people with cerebral palsy who their vocal cords don't even listen to their brain. So because she's verbal, it makes her life slightly easier, but it doesn't make it completely easy. And while I was listening to this theologian, this priest who has cerebral palsy, who's using a wheelchair, and is saying that at the altar, when she does communion, she is worried because of her belief in the transformation of the blood, bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that she'll spill and drop. She has to do things to make sure that she can minister to her congregation in a way that is fitting. And she takes it seriously. But she also says this, that in that moment of giving communion, she realizes that God had, in Jesus Christ, in his resurrected broken body, is just like her. Isn't that amazing? God chose to come to earth, incarnate, as a person, as an oppressed person. The Jews were oppressed by the Roman Empire. As a poor person, as a refugee, hunted early in his life, and then in the resurrection chose not just to come fully healed, a perfect, able body, but a broken one. It is clear in the resurrection accounts that they didn't recognize Jesus at first. So something has changed. I can't tell you what that is. That is the mystery of faith. That is the mystery of our understanding. Something has changed to the point that at the tomb, They are talking to Jesus. The women are talking to Jesus, and they think he's a gardener. But then he is revealed in his brokenness, in the nails through his hands. So God chose in resurrection to come back broken, but different, changed, renewed, restored. And that changes my experience of that prayer for me to reclaim my sight. Please don't get me wrong, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God can heal and does heal. Later on in this gospel in Luke, if you turn to page 1053 in your church Bibles, in Luke 18, you see the story of a blind beggar receiving his sight. Jesus actually healing sight. You have a prophecy and then you have the fulfillment of it. So there's purpose in healing. And it does happen. I've seen it happen many times. But my unease led me to interrogate what I think and feel. And it led God to reveal to me something about this world, that when we sometimes feel that we aren't enough because our bodies don't work in a particular way, or our minds don't work in a particular way, or maybe you don't look like the preferred leader, we don't have that statemently like thing that they keep saying when you look to have a prime minister or president, you've got to look a certain way, feel a certain way, have the right experience in your life, do something particularly. Jesus didn't choose that as his life when he came. When God came to earth to inhabit this place, he didn't choose any of those things. He chose poverty, oppression, hardship, and brokenness as a way of freeing us from the ills of this world, the harm that we do to each other and that is done to us. I just feel God is speaking to us today about the need to know that it is our bodies that are called to serve God. Broken, blind. Oh, why do I always cry, Jerry? It's like, I try so hard. Oh, I'm empowered by God today. Oh. There's something about this which is more than words, and that's why I get emotional. I'll leave it like this before I end up in complete floods. If you've ever felt that you're not enough, your body isn't enough, your mind isn't enough, you're not good enough for this, good enough for that, you know, you've worked so hard for things, you've put in all the effort you have, and yet you still don't get to that place. As someone who worked themselves to the point where I couldn't go on anymore, I know that it's just something you do. You think you can do it. Every step, as a teacher, I know every September I was like, I'll just be more organized. I'll just be better. When I worked in youth work, I'll just spend more time with those young people. I'll do more face to face. I'll do more. As a childminder, it was like, I'll get up at 4 in the morning and I'll clean the house and cook all the meals so they've got the right things. I just need to be more. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But what does work is acknowledging our lived embodied experience, and the fact that God is calling that body to minister, and when I say minister, I mean work. And work means showing love and being present wherever you are. To be in those places as you, because God has called you and all the bits of you.